Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How much is too much for the Minnesota Vikings to pay to go get a quarterback? It's been a lot of discussion points on this exact topic. We're going to kind of narrow it down and come at it from a couple different angles. Plus, we're going to talk more about void years. Necessary? Evil? A necessary evil? Or is it actually really smart business? We're going to talk about all of that and more here on The Real Forno Show.
Welcome to The Real Forno Show. Hosted by Tyler Fornes, the managing editor of USA Today's Vikings Wire, writer for the College Football Network, publisher of Substack, Run In Shooter, host of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungry on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, as well as a founding member of Vikings First and Skull.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Real Forno Show. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes. With me, as always, is producer Dave. Dave, before we kind of jump into the meat of this conversation, did you hear what Tom Pelissero said earlier today?
About?
He talked to a bunch of different executives. And now this isn't necessarily a report, and I think that's really important to note here. He talked to a bunch of executives and kind of asked questions of what they think will happen. And that's the big thing. This is all opinion-based. He asked what they think the Commanders will do at second overall. Based on, hey, you guys know Adam Peters. You guys know like what the organization is. And you guys know kind of how he likes to conduct his business. What do you think happens? The overwhelming majority of them said that the Washington Commanders will take J.J. McCarthy at second overall. And I thought that was interesting because this is not a report. It's not anything other than a bunch of different executives have this opinion. I found that fascinating because it's not telling you, hey, this is going to happen. It will happen. It should happen. This is just a belief of a few people that think, hey, I think this can happen. What do you think about that?
Well, a reminder, it is smoke season, but that's
the thing, though. It's not a report. This is just they're taking their best guess based on how they know Adam Peters and what he likes.
And what he likes
that's
to think.
That's why it's interesting, because it's not trying to blow smoke up anybody's ass. It's just, what do you think Peters would do and what he would prefer? That's why I find it fascinating, because it's not anybody trying to lead anyone else on. It's more of just an honest conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. It's, they're talking about personal preferences that they've heard about different GMs. And we knew Spielman had a system that he liked. He had a, you know, he was going for the athletic guys and he was going for this. And our friend Arif Hassan nailed it for years, knowing exactly what Spielman was going to take. Now, are they looking sort of in the same way that, hey, Washington's GM likes this type of player and that's, you know, J.J. McCarthy fits that bill and most likely they're going to take him at number two. It very well could be. Who knows? But as I was telling the guys here, everybody from Washington on down to the L.A. Chargers said they're open for business. They've already let it be known. There's reports that the, mm-hmm. their front offices are for possible trades. So, depends on the cost, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. It's very fascinating, and I found that point interesting because usually when you hear a guy like Tom Pelissero talk, it is reporting because that's his number one job. But these are just conversations, asking questions, and getting thoughts. So to me, that speaks more than, hey, I'm going to blow smoke up your butt, because we know a lot of these reports from these insiders, and no offense to the insiders, that's part of their job. They hear things, they report it, being like, hey, the speculation. That brings traffic. That brings business. And you have to have that in this world of media, because in the world of media, it can be very difficult to make money. The only way to make money is by drawing traffic. How do you draw traffic? Intrigue, storylines. Those things all matter and they all add up.
Well, even for the when NFL.
You're talking about, yeah, especially for the NFL. I mean, look, mm-hmm. I'm in the business of drawing traffic, whether it be on this YouTube channel, whether it be Vikings Wire. If I don't drive traffic, I don't make money. So, but I also understand that I'm not just going to use anything to drive traffic. It has to be quality. And that's why we do the kind of shows that we do here. It's not, we don't want to be clickbaity. We want to draw you in. And I think that's the difference, because people will be like, oh, that's clickbait. Well, did they deliver on the title? If they deliver on the title, it's not bait. And that's one of the things that really frustrates me to no end. Clickbait versus a catchy title, different things. And when you talk about guys like Tom Pelissero, their goal is to draw you to NFL Network. Their goal is to draw you to NFL.com. So you go there for all your news. And that is what drives business. Him, Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo, it's their job. So I found it really interesting that instead of reporting, it was more speculation. So I thought that was really cool.
Now, Zachary asks, why would the Commanders prefer Daniels or McCarthy over May, over whoever? Why would any GM, for that matter, prefer one quarterback versus another?
It all depends on what specifics you're looking for in a quarterback. And I think the overall package, look, people have used this general terminology before. If you were to build a Kyle Shanahan quarterback in a lab, it's probably J.J. McCarthy. He is the preultimate Kyle Shanahan quarterback. It's like the throwing over the middle, throwing with anticipation, the ability to create when he needs to, the ability to throw on the run, the ability to make progressions. Now, I don't necessarily know if he's ever going to be a truly elite quarterback, but here's the thing. A Kyle Shanahan quarterback does not need to be elite. Just look at Brock Purdy. Led them to a Super Bowl. Had them in overtime in a Super Bowl. You don't need to be elite to be a Kyle Shanahan quarterback, and I think that's a common misconception. Now, could Kyle Shanahan's offense be incredible with an elite quarterback? Yep. And that's where I think the intrigue of a guy like Drake May with Kevin O'Connell, who is running a version of a Shanahan offense, that's pretty intriguing to me. But I think that's the main reason why Peters spent a lot of time with Kyle Shanahan, with John Lynch in that system. And I think that would be the why behind it. How much truth there is behind these executives knowing Adam Peters that well, that's where I think you can really have the conversation of, hey, is this legit? But I don't even see it as a report. It's just interesting. Very interesting and fascinating. And that's all I'm going to really say on it, because it's just, it's an intriguing element to the conversation. Doesn't mean anything right now.
Well, and there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff that comes out of the owners' meetings. Already, they're starting to be with the sit-downs with Kevin O'Connell. Chippers had a great article over on ESPN on how the Kevin O'Connell says he's reorganizing the offensive staff so that he and Coach McCown can focus on developing Sam Darnold and new quarterback, which I found was interesting. They're giving more, he's giving more responsibilities to Wes Phillips to handle the other stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that came out this morning because of this. And it's going to be interesting to see how he does that, how that works out.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole quarterback situation kind of shapes out. Now, let's transition that into talking more about trades. And we've talked a lot about potential Minnesota Vikings trades. But one angle that hasn't really been discussed, what's too much? What is too much to trade to go get that franchise quarterback? Now, in the comments, I would love to hear what you guys think. What is too much for you to try and go get that quarterback? Because I think we're going to have a discussion. I'd like to hear some input from you guys, because it's, everybody's going to have a different opinion on what too much is. And too much in itself is very relative, because too many beers might be one for somebody. It might be 12 for another. It's probably three or four. But that in itself is a very relative term. Somebody who's diabetic can only have a few gummy worms. Somebody who is like a 12-year-old kid can probably have 20 of them. And that is, they're going to be just fine. Well, a diabetic needs to really monitor that blood sugar. And I know somebody I know will actually use gummy worms when their blood sugar is way too low, have like three of them, spikes it right back up and gets it to a good range, and they're doing just fine. Well, it's different for everybody. And that's where I'm intrigued to kind of see what everybody else thinks. Here's what I think. I don't think that there is, relatively speaking, too high of a price for the Vikings to go get that quarterback, as long as the quarterback hits. And this is where the difficulty comes in this conversation. People will reference the 49ers trading three firsts and a third round pick to go get Trey Lance. People will reference the Commanders to go from 6-2, giving up three total first round picks and a second in that same draft. Dave, do you think anybody gives a crap about either of those hauls if Trey Lance or Robert Griffin III hit?
Nope, that's key. No. They got to hit.
And that's the difficult part, because you can't make the trade knowing they're going to hit. There is no crystal ball. There is no fairy godmother that says, hey, this is going to hit no matter what. You can't flip a switch and guarantee anything. There's always inherent risk in making one of these trades. The NFL draft is a very inconclusive process. And because it's an inconclusive process, and it's a difficult one to quantify, a difficult one to understand completely, it's tough. Because I can't sit here and tell you Jaden Daniels is going to be a future Hall of Famer. I can't tell you for certainty that Bo Nix is going to flame out of the league in 3 years. I can't tell you for certainty of anything. I think the only thing that's near certain in this draft class, there are two things. One, players will be taken at every single pick. And I think Caleb Williams is going first overall. And I don't think there's going to be much to change it. Now, being charged with like capital murder, that would probably change Caleb Williams going first overall. Outside of something like that, I don't think anything will. And that makes it also difficult. So if you hit, it doesn't matter. If you miss, it's awful no matter what. It's a potential massive setback. Now, the Vikings do have a good infrastructure, which is key. A good infrastructure is a positive. You look at the Carolina Panthers, and that's a common one being brought up nowadays when having this discussion, because the Carolina Panthers were awful last year. They were so bad that they had the first overall pick. Well, actually, no, they don't, because they traded it last year to the Chicago Bears. The difference between the Vikings and the Panthers, Panthers had a terrible infrastructure. They had disagreeing ownership and coaching staff. They had a front office who also wasn't on the same page. They didn't have the wide receivers because they gave up one of them to go make the trade. They didn't have a good offensive line. They didn't have a good running game. And the defense was subpar. So you're asking a quarterback who doesn't really have any special athletic gifts when it comes to playing the quarterback position. Now, intelligence, poise, those kind of things, those aren't athletic gifts. Those are intellectual gifts. And those are very important to the position. But it's also important in this discussion. If you don't have those athletic gifts, it's hard for you to overcome some of those things. Guess what the Vikings have? They have an emerging quality defense that has been retooled. They have a creative play caller on offense. They have bookend tackles that are playing at a Pro Bowl level. They have the best wide receiver in football, an emerging number two. They have a top five tight end in the game. And now they just signed a fringe top 10 running back to fortify the run game. That is going to be significantly important when we have this conversation, Dave, when it comes to supporting your quarterback. So you being at 11th overall can take a chance by quote unquote mortgaging the future and trying to go get that guy. It's a lot easier sell, and it's a lot easier to ask them to succeed in that type of infrastructure. Now, Delton does mention the interior line. The interior line is average at best. And that is, yeah, it's not great. But tackles are still more important than your interior offensive linemen. Now, I know we've had our share of interior offensive line woes. We've had our share of being frustrated at the interior. All of those things are completely fair, but they are inherently less important than having elite level tackle play, which the Vikings have been getting from both Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill. So if you're going to have one weakness on the team, having it on the interior, I'm okay with that being the one weakness on the offense, because a good quarterback can maneuver around pressure. They can create outside of structure. And one thing the Vikings did not have with Kirk Cousins was the ability to truly sense pressure and maneuver inside the pocket with it. Now, he did improve over the last couple of years. He deserves credit for that. He wasn't great at it. And that was a big reason why he was taking so many sacks, because he could not do enough to evade pressure. Tom Brady, Dan Marino, Ben Roethlisberger, you know what they all have in common? They're incredibly mobile inside the pocket. Mobility is a relative term as well. You have guys who are scramblers. You have guys who are runners. You have guys who can create outside the pocket. Think of like Michael Vick. That's a running quarterback. Lamar Jackson, he's great at running as well. Aaron Rodgers, he's a great scrambler. Fran Tarkington too. Well, you have mobility inside the pocket. Well, that's elite. Dan Marino couldn't run worth the damn. You know what he could do? Maneuver away from defenders inside the pocket with quick feet and be able to set and fire. And that mobility is just as important as being able to escape outside the pocket. So if you can evade some of those interior rushers with some quick footwork, be able to slide away, set your feet, and fire, you can make those interior offensive linemen look significantly better. So, to kind of wrap this and put a bow on, If you hit, none of that matters at all. And the Vikings infrastructure is significantly better than anybody who has traded in up at the top of the draft to go get a quarterback in some time. The only one that I would say it was better set up, San Francisco 49ers. But that's a whole different scenario of Trey Lance and a really big can of worms that we're not going to open up on today's show, but it's worth mentioning.
Well, my question is, the question of the show is, what is too much? Right? And if we hit, that's great. Mm-hmm. But there is a too much deal. You're not going to give 10 first round draft picks to move up. That's not going to happen.
Legally, you can't do that unless you own 10 picks in the first round in the next three drafts. That's the key. You can only trade in three drafts. So the second the 2024 draft is done, you can trade 2027 picks. You cannot do that before the end of the 2024 NFL draft.
All right. Now, we look at the trade charts, and the Rich Hill goes off of trades versus any of the other charts. And just number-wise, the number 11 and 23 should get us to number 3. Now, if we traded 11 and 23 to get to 3, I'd be happier than picking slot. But I think everybody agrees that's not enough. That New England won't take just the two first rounders and say, hey, we're good. That there's going to have to be sweetener in there. When does the sweetener get to be too much? How would you say if we're going to Washington at 2, New England at 3, Arizona at 4, Chargers at 5? What do you see as realistic trades, and then what is too much? And is a, since you talked about 3 years out, is a 2026 first rounder less valuable than a 2025 first rounder?
Yes, 100%. It is significant. So when we're having this conversation, the farther you go out with these draft picks, the less they're inherently worth right now. And it's a very complicated answer, because when you're taking a look at draft picks in the future, general managers don't often get to make those if they trade too far out. Why? Because if you trade down, like, remember Sashi Brown with the Cleveland Browns? Well, he acquired all these picks, and then John Dorsey got to make first and fourth overall, getting Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. Sashi Brown didn't get to make those picks. You have to be careful to not get assets too far out, and then all of a sudden you don't get to use them. Here is the caveat with this group of general managers up at the front. We're going to eliminate the Bears. The Bears aren't going to trade that first overall pick. They're going to take Caleb Williams, okay? Commanders, Adam Peters, brand new GM. Elliot Wolf for the New England Patriots, essentially a brand new GM. He's been in that infrastructure for a couple years, but he is now the key decision maker. It's not Bill Belichick. The Cardinals, Monty Austenfort, in his second year, they got capital this year from the Houston Texans. They are continuing to build up that roster. They have the quarterback in place. And at the end of the year, they played relatively competitive with Kyler Murray. So you're in a good enough spot. His job is relatively safe. And then the Chargers, Hortitz. I think it's Joe Hortitz or Hortiz. I'm not 100% sure how you pronounce his name, but he came from the Baltimore Ravens. His first year as a GM. All those guys are relatively safe unless something catastrophic happens. All of them would probably be able to make that 2026 pick. Now, Matt Freeze, co-host of the Kindred Schools podcast with Nick Olson. Great guys, incredibly smart. I listen to them and I get smarter. That should tell you something. He made the argument that the Vikings could trade 11-23 in a 2026 first to save their 2025 first. And his argument was interesting because it's still worth more on the Rich Hill trade chart to make that offer and a team would be able to make, say, 11, a 2025 first and a 2026 first. So that in itself raises intrigue, and you could hold on to that 2025 first, and you'd only be missing a second round pick. And I think that matters. I don't necessarily know if anybody'd be willing to trade that far out, but I think when you're having terms of these conversations, I think that's a good thing. Now, to kind of wrap this all up, I don't think that there is a trade that is, hey, this is going to cost way too much. The one that was thrown at me when I did a Q&A session on Twitter the other day, like, what would be too high of a price for Drake May? I said 3 firsts and Justin Jefferson. I think that price is too high. Now, 3 firsts? No, I think I'd pay that. Would I pay just Justin Jefferson? My immediate answer is not no. It would be I would have to sit and consider it. And the answer might end up being yes. Together, it's too much. And that's where the word relative comes into play here. And we've been using that word a lot tonight. But I think it's also really important. If the player hits, it doesn't matter. Especially a quarterback. Now, you're not trading 3 first-round picks to go get a corner. Corner is an incredibly volatile position. You could make an argument that it's not worth it to pay cornerbacks big-time money because they fall off, and they fall off hard and fast. So it's almost, it might just be better to have a room full of average guys than pay a couple great ones. So,
and their playing lifespan is shorter, too.
Just yeah, because it's just a volatile position. Hmm. Yeah, it's such a unique one because it's just as much about physical ability as it is about mental fortitude. It is mentally taxing to play cornerback. Very mentally taxing. Just ask, like, Xavier Rhodes still had the physical ability. He just, for lack of a better term, he lost it in 2019. He just lost the ability to play at a super high level. That sucked. Sucked for him. It sucked for the Vikings. So when you're looking at all of this, if the Vikings are right, 3 first-round picks is not a big deal. You only pay a 3rd first-round pick if you absolutely have to, and you are absolutely sold on that guy. That's the key. You have to know, and you have to be right. I can't guarantee that I know or I'm right. But if I have the conviction, I will feel comfortable making the move. And if the Vikings make that move, you bet your ass that they're convinced as well. And to me, that's the caveat. You don't throw away that 3rd first-round pick. That's pretty destructive behavior. It's dangerous. Something you don't want to do. If you don't have a choice, if you think Drake May is a top 5 quarterback in 5 years, and it's going to cost you that 3rd first-round pick, you don't waver, you do it. Now, if you also think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a top 5 quarterback in 5 years, but you only have to give up 11 and 23, then you have a different conversation. Then you don't do it. Then you hold steady. Then you stay patient. To me, that's the caveat here, Dave. You want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. Why would I give you $10 for 2 scoops of vanilla custard when I can get the same item next door for $6? No, unless it's a family like business and you want to go support family, nobody's paying an extra $4 for the same custard. For lack of a better term, it's stupid. And that's where this conversation has to be. You have to live in an element of, I'll pay it if I have to, but if I don't, I'm not. And that's why I think like this conversation can get really muddy. You only do it if you have to. And to me, I don't think 3 first-round picks is too much to pay for getting that quarterback, getting that franchise quarterback.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't see giving up three first round picks unless we move to number two.
I think it'll cost three first round picks to go to three. Now, you talked about the trade chart, but I think they're going to ask for three first round picks to go to three. And that's where the difficulty with this trade chart is. It also could mean that they don't, because you have those two first round picks now. We'll find out what the trade offers are in time. We'll find out what each team was asking for. Right now, we genuinely don't know. But my guess, even though I spent last week talking about the quarterback tax and saying there isn't a quarterback tax, I think there's going to be an ask of three first round picks. And it also depends on what chart everybody uses too, because I strictly just use the Rich Hill trade chart, but I also understand that's not the only way to look at things. There is the Fitzgerald Spielberger. There's the Jimmy Johnson, which is the one everybody knows of. There's the Stewart, which I believe the Stewart is the one that's Harvard-based. Or the Stewart and the Harvard-based ones are different. I can't remember. But there's multiple different trade charts, multiple different ways of looking at how to value these assets. Fitzgerald Spielberger one values them more contract-based, which obviously they run over the cap, so it makes sense. Now, let's kind of scroll back.
The Jimmy Johnson one was built because of contracts. Back in the day when there was unlimited contract, whatever they can negotiate for those first picks. That's why Sam Bradford got $50 million straight off the get-go and didn't even take a snap.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the rookie pay scale.
That's why I really don't use that one, because it is so outdated. But a lot of teams still use it, and they believe that it is the best route to go. So let's kind of look back at I'm trying to figure out where the start is. Some of the comments talking about what is too much. Brian Port said four first round picks would be too much. JRP said 11, 23 and a freezer full of walleye. I love the idea of throwing walleye in there. Look, if you can get some fresh walleye out to whoever you're trading with, you know what? I don't think that would work for New England, because they're right on the coast there and they got like lobster and crab and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, but walleye is different.
Yeah. R. Emmer 33 says all of 2026 should be off the table. So that would be too much for them. Dan Henneman, 11, 23 and a 2025 first for three and a 2025 second is kind of, I think that's what he's saying. That would be the limit. Look, if you can flip a 2025 first for that second, I think that's a good middle of the road move. I like that one. Nick, before we kind of move on to void years, because I want to hit on this, and there was somebody asking about Harrison Smith earlier in the show, and we're going to use that as kind of the key caveat to that conversation. You think the Vikings will have a limit on what they will spend, or will they be as aggressive as possible? Everybody has a limit. When I go to the store, I have a limit on what I will pay. So sometimes I want a ribeye. But if they're asking $20 a pound for a ribeye, I'll pass. I'll probably get a New York strip for $15. Whereas sometimes the grocery store here in town will sell like 1 pound ribeye steaks for $10 each. Then I buy a few of them. Yep. I mean, look, I mean, it's a grocery store ribeye. It's like a 6 out of 10 for the quality of a ribeye. It's still a ribeye for $10 a pound. I'm in. I'm big time in. So I think that they have thresholds that they want to stay within. But Quasi Dofomensa strikes me as a guy who's going to be insanely aggressive to get what he wants. The trade offer that I was told to go move up to the Arizona Cardinals last year to get Anthony Richardson is more than any trade offer that we've discussed for Drake May. Significantly more. I don't know if I should say how much that was. But
leave it a mystery. It didn't happen.
It was a lot. And you know what? They were asking more than the Vikings offered. And the Vikings offered a fortune. So
supposedly the farm, like, to include all the cows, the pigs, and the chickens.
Oh no, the Vikings got to keep the chickens, but no piggies. Piggies were gone. it's a tough proposition, and you have to keep it relative and remember, you do it if you have to. If it hits, who cares? Because you hit on a quarterback. All right. George's like, Chuck for Tyler, ribeye for his dog. Yeah. We had a little bit of a doggy accident earlier today. Odie got hurt in a little bit of a scuffle. He's okay, but his ear looks rougher than it is, but he's just fine. I think I've cleaned it about 7 times today, and it's all clotted. Just send your best wishes for Mr. Odie. He's within an hour, he was playing like nothing had happened. So I think we're going to be okay. But let's talk about void years. And I think the idea of void years is something that people haven't quite warmed up to yet. And void years in themselves can be a little bit difficult to understand. Now, here's what I mean by that. Void years are used to spread money out over multiple years. And it's essentially an interest-free loan. You don't have to pay more money by spreading it out. You just pay it at a different time. It's like, hey, my dad borrowed me $100. I can either pay him $100 next week, or I can pay him $25 over the next 4 weeks. And that's kind of how void years work. So if player X has a $30 million deal, you can take that $30 million cap hit in year one or spread it out over 3 years. Now, here's where things get really interesting. By spreading it out, you're paying less on the salary cap. Every year it spreads out.
Percentage-wise.
Yep. So the Vikings, Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings had a really cool and honestly disgusting looking graphic. It was just hastily thrown together, but it was beautiful in the sense that it was very, very thought-provoking and informative. So I can't remember the numbers he used. I think it was like 10 million. Maybe it was 5. I don't remember. Whatever numbers it was. Here we go. Yep, that is the one. So take a look. All right. The Microsoft percent of available resources. 12% of the cap if you pay it all at once. Or you can pay it 4% now, 3% next year, and 2% the year after. Therefore, only doing 9% of the cap. Same dollar amount. But because you're spreading it out, it lessens the burden. And that's just a better way to look at it. So if the Vikings end up wanting to make more moves now, you spread the cap hit out long term. Plus, it sets your players up for extensions. Hey, I want to keep you. Okay. Well, we already have the void years. Like, it incentivizes the team to want to extend. And then the player knows, hey, like, you do the void years. Hey, they're planning on keeping me around. It kind of plants that idea in the back of your head. Now, it's frustrating when all those void years accelerate and you're taking this big dead cap hit, and the Vikings are going to be second in the league in dead cap hits once the everything clears with the Russell Wilson contract. Okay. The Russell Wilson contract itself has a dead cap hit. I think it's going to be like 35 or 40 million this year, and next year is going to be 50, or the numbers are flipped. I can't remember. But Vikings are doing 57 million in dead cap this year.
Almost 50.
28 and a half of it is Kirk Cousins. Nearly 15 of that is Danielle Hunter. And then you have some little ones here and there. Dalvin Cook is like 3 million.
The Marcus Ware was like 8.
You mean Marcus Ware. Davenport?
Davenport, yeah.
6.8. Like all that stuff does add up. Dean Lowry is like 2.5. So it's frustrating to see those numbers, but we also have to remember that the Los Angeles Rams won a Super Bowl with $40 million in dead cap when they traded Jared Goff. Like, you can do it. You can make things happen. This is kind of a reset year for the Vikings. Void years don't mean that you are planning to pay those dead cap hits at certain points. You know you have to pay them. It's to give yourself ultimate flexibility now and maneuverability later, because also with void years, it makes it easier to move money. So if I want to move, let's say I have a $20 million base salary, I have 4 void years, I can turn that into a signing bonus and save like around $16 million on the salary cap for this year. Vikings just did that with Kirk Cousins last year. Like, you can do that to kind of maneuver yourself and be able to bring in more talent. So all that matters. And to put a bow on it, is it a good idea? That's a relative question. The theme of the show is just going to be relative, but you have to determine how you want to format the cap. Now, the opposite side of that, last year, the Cincinnati Bengals signed Orlando Brown. I think it was a 4-year contract with $64 million. Year one had a cap hit of $32 million because instead of a signing bonus, they gave him a roster bonus, where a signing bonus is spread out over multiple years. A roster bonus hits just this year. So they decided to take the cap hit now for him making the same amount of money, but now they can cut him for significantly less, and now they have more flexibility because Joe Burrow has the big contract. All of that matters. All of that factors in. And when you take a look at everything, it's just about trying to manipulate your numbers. It's essentially going to your accountant and say, hey, I don't want you to do anything illegal, but make my books as good as possible. It's the same thing.
Or give me room to move up a payment by doing this. And you talked about the Bengals doing it. It's possible the Vikings do it with Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's mm-hmm. under contract, but if he gets that extension doesn't kick in, but they can move a bunch of that money
mm-hmm.
into the remaining space that we have right now, effectively around $18 million. They can move some of that money in now, and so when the extension actually gets in, he's making less of a cap hit across the board, the life of his extension, and it doesn't hurt the team as much.
Yeah. So let's have the conversation to finish off the show about Harrison Smith. Harrison Smith took a pay cut for $9 million in cash in 2024. Now that's key, because $9 million in cash, and then you still have like the near $4 million in signing bonus from previous. So he's still going to have a decent size cap it. Well, they set it up where I think he's going to retire after the year. Here's how. It's a, just under a $1.5 million base salary and a $7 million signing bonus that they also added 4 void years to his contract. Next year's base salary went from over $18 million to $1.25, and they voided out any per game roster bonuses. So to me, that says that Harrison Smith is doing cap math to help the Vikings, and he can still come back if he wants. Like, that's no problem. and they can figure out, hey, we'll do this, that, or the other thing to make your contract right. But to me, it says, hey, I'm going to maneuver the contract for you guys, and I'm still getting $9 million, which is not an unfair price for what his production is moving forward. So because of how he restructured it, I think he's gone. And you know what? He's a Ring of Honor player, potential Hall of Famer. I think that's okay. He's 35, about to turn 36. Nothing wrong with that. Hell of a career. But the way he structured it tells me he's going to retire. And that'll stink, but he had a relatively healthy career. He had a really good career, and he made a lot of money. That's pretty damn cool.
And that he cares about the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So that is our show. We are going to be back on Wednesday. Topic to be determined. And we are going to have a lot of more discussion over the course of the next few weeks, talking about the future of the Minnesota Vikings and how they're going to parse things out. And I can't wait. And if you missed it yesterday, Dave went solo on Two Old Bloggers. It is a doozy. You will want to make sure you go check that out. And make sure you like, subscribe, ring the bell. Anytime we have something come out. I do a lot of shorts. Had one last night. Had one bright and early this morning. You're not going to want to miss them. They are quick hitters, 1 minute, talking about a singular topic. That's it. Super easy, super fun, super digestible. With that, after you like, subscribe, and ring the bell, thank you. I'm Tyler. He's Dave. Skull Vikings, baby.
Skull Vikings.
Like, subscribe, and ring the bell to get notifications. It helps us grow this community, and we all love our Minnesota Vikings. And on behalf of Tyler Fornes and myself, Dave Stefano, thank you so dearly for watching The Real Forno Show.
Skull, everyone!
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This has been a Vikings First and Skull production, part of the Fans First Sports Network.